T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, he's a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, host of the Pick 6 Pod. That's a daily podcast you can subscribe to anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's Will Brinson making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Will, some are calling it the greatest weekend of professional football in the history of our planet. 4 games, all of which were interesting, all of which were close. They were decided by a total of 15 points. Where are you at on what we just watched? Is that the greatest weekend of professional football we've ever seen?
I mean, and all 4 were decided on the final play, GP. So, yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely make the case. I'm a pretty aggressively hyperbolic person, so I try in, like, situations like last night when we're watching it to not, you know, take it to the full, the greatest football weekend we've ever seen. Also because I haven't seen every single weekend of football. I've seen a lot of them, though. And, I mean, if you ask me to pick the best weekend of football – that I've watched in my career at CBS, over a decade now, which seems crazy, but I would take this weekend. Just wild games, and I think you could look at this. You know, we had this game with, the Bills and the Chiefs, and on CBS, by the way, over delivers on everything we were promised somehow with Mahomes and Allen, better than anyone could have possibly expected, and you can still be, like, look around and say, like, man. You know, it wasn't the craziest game of the weekend. You know, you had wild comebacks from Brady, the Rams trying to gag it away, Matthew Stafford with a dagger down the field to Cooper Kupp. Just pure insanity. I felt, when I woke up this morning, mentally and physically exhausted from watching football.
Yeah, I was exhausted as well, and I didn't have to talk about it on a podcast or type any words. I just had to watch it. And let's circle back to last night, because that was an all-timer. I don't know if you noticed on Twitter, but initially we were going to start the Ion College Basketball podcast when it appeared like Rams-Bucks was over, and then we realized very quickly this is not over. We'll push that away. So then we start recording. We drift into Bills-Chiefs, but I was able to settle in, and at some point when it's touchdown, 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 all this happening in the final 2 minutes, there seemed to be a narrative developing on Twitter that this is the greatest football game in the greatest football weekend we've ever seen. Chiefs end up winning at 42-36 in overtime. Is there anything Buffalo could have done differently strategically to prevent Patrick Mahomes from being in that position to score, to set the Chiefs up, to send it to overtime when they got the ball with only 13 seconds left in regulation?
Oh, yes. There certainly was. And you got to give the Chiefs credit for their execution, but the Bills botched that one. They kicked it deep, which they shouldn't have done. I believe firmly that Tyreek Hill being back there to return punts earlier in the game is what spooked the Chiefs into not squibbing it. Even though Byron Pringle, I believe, was out there for the kickoff, I think that they were worried that Tyreek's out there, he might house it, so they made the decision to kick off. They should have squibbed it. That burns a couple of seconds at minimum, and it's pretty difficult to house a squib like that. I mean, Madden players, everybody who's played Madden in their life knows you're squibbing at the end there. Secondly, they should have – so let's say they squib it, right, and they're down to, like – let's say they're down to 10 seconds or whatever it is. On the very next play, they should have instructed – Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott should have instructed every single player on that Bills defense to hold the crap out of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, Blake Bell, any pass catcher out there, you just grab them and you hold them. And it's going to burn 4 seconds off the clock. You're going to take a 5-yard penalty, and the Chiefs are at that point going to have only time for one more play. The NFL changed the rules, GP, back in 2017 because John Harbaugh and the Ravens actually did that to end the game, and the NFL made it illegal to do it more than once. A second time would, it blows the play dead, reverse the clock back to where it was. But you can do it once, and you can get away with a hold like that. So they should have done that. They should have committed DPI or whatever it is, a holding, right? You don't want to commit the defensive pass interference because that's 15. But the 5-yard penalty wouldn't have killed you, and it would have forced him to either take like a 70-yard field goal or from Mahomes to try a Hail Mary, neither of which, would have been a very viable from that distance. So strategically, yeah, they messed up the end of that, and it's probably going to haunt them for quite some time.
So this is wild to me. If it's so obvious to you, why is it not obvious to the Buffalo Bills coaching staff?
I think it's kind of a just the intensity of the moment. We sort of forget when we're watching these games on TV, like exactly what's going on, all down the field. And then now the other thing too that's worth noting: the Bills called timeout on the final play where Travis Kelce got 25 yards. And there's a great clip I tweeted out there. Kelce talks about his press conference. He said he went up to Mahomes. The Bills get the defense out there. I think the Chiefs had called timeout, and then the Bills used one of their timeouts. But the problem with the Bills using their timeout is the Chiefs got to look at the Buffalo's defense. And Kelce goes over to Mahomes and he goes, "Hey, if they come out in the same defense, I'm gonna run the seam. I'm not gonna run the out of the design route that's been called." And so Mahomes gets up there, and you can hear it on the audio feed of the game or the broadcast feed of the game. He goes, "Do it, Kelce! Do it, do it." And Kelce streaks up the seam. Mahomes get rid of it at the last second, and it's perfect execution by two really good players. But you could also ask the question, like, why isn't Kelce being chipped at all? Just, you cannot give him a free release there. And so I think there's just, three or four things in the final 13 seconds that, you don't want to kill Sean McDermott and the coaching staff for, but it's hard not to, as you say, when we're spotting it, not even with the benefit of hindsight, just kind of seeing it in the moment.
Talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter at Will Brinson. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers both eliminated this weekend. Are we 100% certain both will be playing professional football next season?
Not at all. I thought the Brady stuff was kind of crazy when it came out, really on Sunday, right? And you also had the situation with the Fox broadcast, right, where NBC broadcast, excuse me, it's Collinsworth and Al Michaels, and they're sort of talking, they bring it up on there, and they're like, Tom Brady's told, Tom Brady's talking about it, and so it does seem. He's like, maybe I'd like to walk away winning the Super Bowl, but maybe that's not this year. You can't always decide what you want to do. I'll know when I know. I was sort of floored. Tom Brady led the league in passing attempts, passing completions, passing yards, passing touchdowns at the age of 44. His team handily won the division. Ended up as the 2 seed, right? And certainly, if they beat the Rams, they're feeling pretty good about their chances of going to the Super Bowl. So I was sort of shocked to see that, especially considering all the injuries they had down the stretch. Like, this is still a really good football team. But, like Brady said, when you know, Rodgers, if he retires, I feel like Rodgers is more likely to end up on a different team. It may be that, and it's wild, too, because we talked about this on Saturday night on the podcast. It's like you go into this, we always say, each game shouldn't have that much of an impact. Like, we can't, you can't take the 60-minute game and have it, just drastically change our outlook on a thing we believe. But, going in, I felt there was a 90% chance that Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay. And then you come out of that game, and to lose the way you lose, just, in just backbreaking fashion, you feel like now it's more like 60, maybe less. I think there's a decent chance that, I think there's a pretty good chance that at least one of those guys is elsewhere or in retirement. But I mean, these guys are competitors and they're great players. It would be pretty shocking if they walked away.
For Aaron Rodgers, I'm with you, by the way. Both of them are still operating at a high level. Neither seem like the type that wants to walk away while still being able to do it at this level. I'm assuming, and just assuming, I obviously have no insight, but just assuming that both will be playing next season. But it does seem possible that Aaron Rodgers is somewhere other than Green Bay. For Tom Brady, from your perspective, is it Tampa Bay or retire, or is it Tampa Bay somewhere else or retire? Would he play somewhere other than Tampa Bay?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think he found in Tampa Bay, and Bruce Arians has said he's coming back, and Rob Gronkowski said he's going to take a few weeks to figure it out. I think in Tampa Bay, Brady found really the perfect landing spot. You know, it's a warm weather year-round, an organization that has his back and that, you know, allows him to really do whatever he wants. I mean, you know, give him carte blanche on basically personnel decisions. You know, you want to, like, Bruce Arians wanted nothing to do with Antonio Brown, and AB still ended up on the team, and now he's out there trolling the Bucs after the loss, which is unbelievable. And so I think that if, you know, Jason Light, he, you know, has a great relationship, the GM, with Brady, and loves the fan base, I don't think he would go anywhere else. So I think it is, I think it really is just, does he want to walk away from football? And God, it's crazy to me that, like, if you thought about walking away from football, why didn't you do it last year? You know, like, you went to Tampa, won the Super Bowl, walk it off. And you know, now if you leave, it's not that anybody would be disappointed. I mean, they were still an incredible team, and he's the greatest of all time by a substantial margin. But you feel like he's got stuff left in the tank. Maybe he just doesn't want to. He doesn't want to have a career that, you know, not dwindles out, but, you know, like, peters out. He wants to go out with people remembering Tom Brady as Tom Brady.
And Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, he's obviously said, or at least suggested, he's open to coming back, but not determined to come back. The Devontae Adams situation lingers as well. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is the starter in Green Bay of week one, or playing somewhere else, or retire?
Like I said, I would probably still lean towards Green Bay. You know, at the end of the day, I think what this season taught Aaron Rodgers, as they sort of, you know, they locked up the one seed, you know, almost too early, right? Because they had so much rest. And you know, playoff football games are hard to win. You know, they didn't score very many points in that game, obviously, but it was really special teams that doomed them. I think the issue for Rodgers is, you know, you have to. I think 2021 sort of taught him that the grass isn't always greener on the other, or that maybe Green Bay gives him the best chance to win another Super Bowl. It's just a question of, can he handle, you know, does he want to deal with, you know, thinking about and talking about these backbreaking losses in the playoffs, you know? And we saw it with Drew Brees on his way out, and you know, it's possible that Rodgers ultimately says, you know what, I think it is time to try something else. Hey, maybe Tom Brady retires and Rodgers goes to Tampa Bay. That ain't out of the question. You know, Pittsburgh would certainly be a fit for him. There's tons of teams that would love to get Aaron Rodgers, who has plenty left in the tank, as he's likely to win his second consecutive MVP.
He faced more criticism nationally than he's ever faced this year because of off-the-field stuff, his views on COVID, on vaccines. Yep. Do you think that plays into his decision at all? Like, you know what? I don't need this anymore. I'll go spend a lot of time with my fiance and get out of the limelight.
Yeah, I think it does. I also think that it would play a role in him deciding to stay in Green Bay, because in Green Bay he is much more insulated from outside criticism, I think, because of his status with the organization. You know, the fact that he's, you know, and the fact that it's, you know, while the Packers are a big deal and Aaron Rodgers is a big story, you know, that media market is not, you know, this isn't New York where wherever else, and he's just going to get, you know, grilled constantly.
He would have taken a beating in New York saying the things that he said.
Absolutely. It would be nonstop big back page New York Post puns about his COVID toe. And you know, instead in Green Bay, he's sort of given the freedom to go on Pat McAfee's show every week and say whatever it is he wants to say. And so, yeah, I think that would push him back towards Green Bay, or potentially push him towards retirement, if he doesn't feel like, you know, dealing with the lamestream media or whatever he wants to call it.
Wrap it up here with Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go. The Titans obviously lost to the Bengals last-second field goal. If you're a Tennessee fan, you've just had a wonderful season. You were the one seed in the AFC. But the day after you were eliminated, you watched Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes do what they did. I think there's some thought among that fan base that we're not going to be able to beat those quarterbacks in the postseason with Ryan Tannehill. Is there some substance to that? And if so, is there anything to do about it?
Yeah, there's substance to it. I mean, I was talking with my buddy Adam Gold earlier today on Raleigh Radio, just and pointing out this, you know, like if you're an AFC team other than maybe the Bengals or the Chargers, I guess, I mean, you could probably, you know, nitpick a few others, but you're basically looking at Allen and Mahomes, who are really young and already at their peak, and thinking, I mean, like, what, how, you know, how are we going to pull this off? You know, it's like, how do you get past these two organizations, both of whom are, you know, loaded rosters and have these just elite physical freak quarterbacks who have the ability to make these big plays in these spots. Now, the Titans have beaten the Chiefs and the Bills in the regular season, so they know they can win. I don't think Mike Vrabel will flinch at the idea of taking out one of those teams in the playoffs. But sure, it is perfectly reasonable to wonder, you know, can we get over the top with a mid-tier quarterback? And Ryan Tannehill, a very good quarterback, not an elite quarterback, can play at a really high level at times, but you just don't have that upside of Allen or Mahomes. Now, on the other hand, you know, the grass is not always green on the other side. You know, who are we talking? Somebody was talking about, like, I can't remember what quarterback it was, but it was like, they should get rid of that guy or just go draft somebody. Like, it ain't that simple.
Right.
Like you lose a good quarterback, a top 10, top 15 quarterback, and all of a sudden you are in a world of hurt if you don't draft correctly, because you will find yourself in purgatory, you know, a spot like where the Carolina Panthers are, or the Jacksonville Jaguars were for so many years. You can't be there. I mean, the Titans fans should know about it.
That is Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, at Will Brinson. Subscribe to the Pick 6 Pod. You can subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. Thanks, buddy. I know how busy you are. I appreciate your time.
Hey, anytime, GP. Have a good one, man.
All right. That's Will Brinson from CBS Sports. We come back. Tigers down big yesterday at Tulsa. Come back shorthanded, get a nice road victory. We'll talk about it next. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish, and you've heard me talk about Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi and his staff for years now. They run the Smile Center. It's where my whole family goes. We're fortunate. Our insurance covers it. But Dr. Mehdi understands not everybody is fortunate enough to have dental insurance, and that's why he's created the membership plan at the Smile Center. It's an in-office insurance plan for patients who do not have dental insurance. So if you fall under that umbrella, please get in touch with the Smile Center. Dr. Mehdi and his entire staff have been vaccinated, so it's a safe environment. The address is 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek, 901-309. 1333 online, smilecentermemphis.com. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Stack's Pancake Kitchen for years. Now I'm doing it again and letting you know that Stack's is now open for dine-in, curbside pickup, and delivery. So you know where to go or where to order from if you want a great meal, especially a great breakfast. Everything is terrific, but if you're looking for my favorite item on the menu, it's the now famous Stack's Breakfast Burger. Go get it, you'll love it, then you'll get it again. Stack's has two locations. One is at 4615 Poplar in East Memphis. The other, 7704 Poplar in Germantown, and you can check the menu online at stackspancakes.com.
Get in on the ground floor of something really big.
Come to the Southland Casino Job Fair this Wednesday.
Apply, interview, and get hired all in the same day.
When you do, you may be eligible for a $2,000 sign-on bonus.
Come to the Southland Job Fair this Wednesday, January 26th, in the lobby of FedEx Forum in downtown Memphis. Get more info online at dn.careers/Southland.
Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Cool fall evenings have finally arrived. Will you be getting the most out of your furnace? With a simple phone call to Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning, you can ensure your home comfort system is operating at peak efficiency. Our $99 central heating system tune-up ensures your furnace is operating safely and efficiently and reduces the likelihood of a breakdown, so you can enjoy worry-free comfort all season long. Call us today to schedule your furnace tune-up at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
Jeff Allen, it's a new year, and that means time to make your customers happy in 2022 at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
Happy is easy to do with our great savings. I've got a take-your-pick that will knock your socks off. How about a 2022 Kia Forte LXS or a 2022 Kia Sportage? Your choice, $199 per month.
Forte's $27.99 due at signing, and Sportage is $34.99 due at signing. Plus, all Gossett Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty program.
Plus, a 2022 Kia Sorento $350 $39. Only $34.99 due at signing, and all 36-month leases. So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah, 2680 Mount Moriah, or KiaMountMoriah.com.
All 36-month leases, $650 acquisition fee, $30,000 per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Sportage, N 702-7277, MSRP 25460, Forte, N84-2833, MSRP 21980, Sorento, NGO 990119, MSRP 35340. Includes all rebates and incentives, PF 695, plus finance through KMF, excludes tax filing license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 2/3/2022, dealer stock only.
Do you have knee pain? Stiff, swollen, achy knees? If so, it could be osteoarthritis. See if you qualify to take part in a clinical research study with the opportunity to try an investigational oral product for pain associated with osteoarthritis. To take part, you must be 18 to 64 years of age. Call CNS Healthcare at 901-843-1045 to schedule a no-cost assessment and learn more about an oral pain relief option available through this clinical research study. Compensation up to $550 may be provided to those who qualify. Call CNS Healthcare at 901-843-1045. That's 901-843-1045. Or visit cnshealthcare.com for more on this knee pain research study.
There's a security guard who works the floor at Grizzlies games, and whenever he sees me looking particularly good, he smiles and says, "O'Call." And he's right, of course. That's what the folks at O'Call can do. They can help you find the perfect clothing to look and feel your very best. That's the reason O'Call has been helping Memphians since before James Naismith invented basketball. So visit O'Call at Poplar and Ridgeway. It's a Memphis institution because it's fresher and better today than it has ever been.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Get ultra strong for your South Pole. Charmin keeps your undies whiter than the North Pole. A shiny, hiney, a brand new year. Call it a Charmin Happy New Year.
May your holidays be Charmin, clean, merry, and bright.
Charmin Ultra Strong just cleans better. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Hey, Ray Maliozzi here. Have you ever cooked a really fine gourmet meal? Yeah, me neither. But I'm told it all comes down to the ingredients. And when I need ingredients to improve my car, the place I go is eBay Motors. Whether you roasted your last transmission, graded your current floor mats, or pureed your side view mirror on a lamppost, eBay Motors has the right parts at the right prices. 122 million of them. And by the way, if you recently fired up your grill, don't worry, eBay Motors has grills too. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
In my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Cooper Systems over the Mount Moriah office park, on the web, coopersystems.com. If you're the market for a computer, high-end, low-end, middle of the road, desktop, notebook, tablet, get in touch with Lee and Lauren Cooper. You can reach them at 360-9679. 360-9679. Tell them what it is you're going to be doing on a computer, then they'll find a machine that is perfectly suited for you. If it's perfectly suited for you, it's going to be better price for you because you're not going to be paying for a lot of computer that you're never going to use. They got all the big brands. Dell, HP, Apple, Lenovo. Big brands at Cooper Systems for a fraction of the price. If you didn't get the computer you wanted for Christmas, don't worry. They got New Year sales happening right now. Incredibly low prices. 360-9679. 360-9679. Also, if you ever need computer repair, like virus removal, data recovery, you got a cracked screen, don't assume your computer's done because you've got a problem. It might be, but it probably isn't. They can almost certainly fix it, make it good as new at Cooper Systems. 360-9679. 360-9679. It's Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah office park, on the web, coopersystems.com. Jeff Cargan's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. Talk football with him. Right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four Stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
Seems a little silly to call a victory over Tulsa in the sport of men's basketball a good win, but all things considered, good win for Memphis yesterday.
Yeah, 83-81.
Certainly needed it. 83-81 on the road. This after trailing by as many as 15 points. They outscored the Golden Hurricane 50-35 in the final 20 minutes, and they win the game despite being without Landers Nolley, DeAndre Williams, and somewhat surprisingly, Jalen Duren. Landers and DeAndre have been dealing with injuries. Not a huge shock that they were out, but Jalen Duren wasn't expected to be out. There he was on the sideline with a bandaged hand. Big Ben Bennett, Penny Hardaway was asked after the game about Jalen Duren's injury, and he said, "I really don't know what happened." Can you imagine a scenario where a head coach actually doesn't know what happened?
No.
To his projected lottery pick's injured hand?
No. Seems like a little funny business.
A little funny business.
A little funny business, yeah.
Of course he knows what happened to Jalen Duren's
hand. It was probably something really stupid. And so you just say, "I don't know," so you don't have to say what actually happened. It is what it is.
The most stupid way you can injure your hand is by punching something you couldn't punch. I'll just throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the most dumb way to injure your hand is to punch something you're not supposed to punch.
Seems likely.
The last time we had a mysterious hand injury in the Tiger basketball program, I believe I was the beat writer. Jeremy Hunt had an injured hand, and when I asked about it, it was in the offseason, so it wasn't like he's going to miss games or anything. And so and there wasn't any real reason for anybody to even know, for it to ever be reported that he had an injured hand. But somebody literally sent me a message, however it was we communicated back in those days, and said, "Hey, I just saw Jeremy Hunt with a bandaged up hand on campus. Do you know what happened?" I'm like, "I don't know what happened. Haven't seen Jeremy in a while, but I'll make some phone calls and try to get to the bottom of it." So I start calling around, and you're getting some weird answers. Like, it's pretty clear they don't want it out there. But ultimately, what I was told was a story that I found fundamentally unbelievable. Somebody on the staff said, "Well, here's what happened. You know the guns that we have in the gym? And for people who have never been to like a basketball workout, there's these big machines that basically every college program has, and you put them underneath the rim and you shoot, and then the ball falls into this thing, machine, and then it shoots it back out to you like a pass. And so it's just a catch and shoot machine. You shoot a ball. It wherever it goes, but then it comes down and it lands in the gun. Boom, shoots it right back at you. Catch and shoot, catch and shoot, catch and shoot." And so one of the assistant coaches was like, "Hey, you know the guns that we use for shooting drills, right?" I said, "Of course." "Well, yeah." So he was working on one of those, and he caught a ball the wrong way, and it fractured a bone in his hand. I said, you, "The story you're telling me is that he broke a bone in his hand catching a pass with a basketball." "Yep." "That sounds unlikely."
Mm-hmm.
"I've never heard of another basketball player suffering a fractured hand catching a pass, like actually catching, just like catching a ball. Here, Bennett, catch."
Right.
"It didn't seem like the way you use it." "Yeah, I just caught it the wrong way." I said, "All right, listen, I'm going to quote, a source close to the Memphis program said Hunt injured his hand catching a pass from a gun in a shooting workout, because that's what I'm being told. But if that's not true, and if this happened the way I'm imagining it might have happened, somebody's going to read that and reach out to me. You know that, right?" "Yeah, GP, it's all good." "Okay." Within hours of that story publishing, I had multiple people saying, "I saw Jeremy Hunt at 152 on Saturday night. He punched somebody, and that's how he hurt his hand." So then we end up writing that story, and it becomes a much bigger story. So I don't know whether you'll ever get an actual report from anybody about how Jalen Duren injured his hand, but it defies all logic to think the head coach wouldn't know. And to be clear, I'm not even trying to make a big deal out of it. Like, if you're Penny Hardaway, what are you supposed to say? Like, if you tell the truth, yes, he was frustrated and he punched something and he injured his hand.
Yeah, kind of throwing him under the bus.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help him with NBA people.
Right.
You know, it, although NBA people aren't dumb, they'll know how he hurt his hand eventually. But, like, it just doesn't it creates another headline of wackiness to your program that you probably don't want. So you can just say, I don't know, and nobody's going to push back on it, and it is what it is. So, like, I'm not trying to even make a big deal out of it. Like, Penny probably handled it the way you can't handle it. Just say, I don't know what happened to his hand. Hopefully he'll be available soon and just be done with it. But it defies logic that the head coach wouldn't know what happened to one of his star players' injured hand. So hopefully Jalen will be back in the lineup ASAP. But for the Tigers, they avoided another what would have been a horrific loss, because if they lose that game, that would have been another quad three loss. They're already 2-2 in quadrant three. They're 5-6 in the first two quadrants. That's actually not bad. Mm-hmm. But those two quadrant three losses are just resume killers. And if they would have taken another one yesterday, that would have been bad news. So it's a good thing that they didn't.
Story number two.
What an awesome time over the weekend down at Auburn, watching Bruce Pearl's Tigers beat Kentucky 80-71.
Mm-hmm. I saw you on TV.
I was on TV.
We were watching. We were pregame and watching before the Titans game.
It's amazing how many people see you when you're on America's Most Watched Network.
No,
oh, I'll tell you a little sweet moment.
Okay.
So I did the halftime interview with John Calipari.
Yep.
Because the way that works, whatever coach's team is ahead at the half, that's who you grab. And if the score is tied, you get the home coach. Like, everybody understands, so you're not trying to make decisions on the fly. So it was clear Kentucky was going to be up the half, and I grabbed John. And, you know, it was one question. Thanks, you know, ask a question. He answers for 55 seconds, and you say, thanks, John, and you move on. And so I get done with that, walk back to my setup, and phone rings, name pops up. Guess who called?
Who?
R.C. Johnson.
How about that?
I said, honestly, you're so busy in that moment, you probably shouldn't be taking phone calls, but I wanted to. And so I answered, and I was like, R.C. Johnson. He said, just sitting here watching TV, and I see two guys who used to give me headaches.
I bet that's true. And, y'all were probably two of the biggest.
He said, just sitting here trying to enjoy my Saturday, and suddenly there's two guys who drove me to drinking. And so we were laughing together, and he was really nice. It was awesome to hear his voice and catch up with him for just a few minutes then. So Auburn wins the game. And as I wrote on Saturday night, it propelled them to number one in the AP poll, because the truth is they should have been number one in the AP poll for the first time in school history last week, but there were some goofy voters who had them way too low on a couple of ballots. One guy had them ninth, one guy had them sixth, and it really was exactly that prevented Auburn from being number one, because they finished only 4 points behind Gonzaga. They had 11 more first-place votes. So after they got this win over Kentucky, it wasn't just that they got a win over Kentucky to improve to 18-1 overall, 7-0 in the conference, and remain the only team in the country that hasn't lost a game in regulation, because their only loss is a double overtime loss to UConn. It was that they moved into the top five at KenPom and at Torvik, which are two predictive metrics. And the reason I knew that would be enough to get them the number one is because the two voters who had them ninth and sixth largely vote nonsensically, but it's the way they do it, relative to the predictive metrics. Like, that's how they were going to justify it. Well, Auburn was ninth at KenPom last week, so why is it crazy to have them ninth? Well, because their body of work is clearly the best in the country. But my point in the column was, now, whether you rank off body of work or rank off predictive metrics, there's nothing that allows you to keep Auburn outside of the top five on an AP ballot. And if every other ballot stays the same, as long as this one voter moves them from nine into the top five and this other voter moves them from sixth into the top five, then that's going to be enough to get Auburn over the top. And so it became official today. Auburn did pass Gonzaga in the AP poll, and they are number one in the country for the first time in school history. And we sort of touched on this when we talked to Bruce Pearl last week on this show. And then he also touched on it in my post-game interview with him. You can say that these types of things don't matter at places like Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky and Kansas, places where they happen often and have been happening often for decades. But at a place like Auburn, Alabama, to be able to achieve these things in the sport of men's basketball, it matters deeply. To have that game and that crowd and CBS in town all to, you know, help create a moment unlike any other basketball moment they've ever had on that campus, it was a cool thing to witness and a cool thing to experience. And if you missed the post-game interview, you could hear it in Bruce Pearl's voice. Here's what it sounded like.
You promised an incredible atmosphere. What goes through your mind when you look around at this?
Well, look at the kids. I mean, look at our students. Look at our players. And Gary, that's what it's all about right there. And what I'm so excited about is I know this happens in North Carolina. I know it happens in Kansas and other places. This is happening in Auburn, Alabama. We're a football school, but we're also an everything school.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Gary.
That's the voice of an extremely excited and proud man. Incredible achievement. When Bruce took over that program, they had a losing record. Since then, he's won the SEC. He's gone to the Final Four. And as of this moment, he's got the number.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.